Turn with me this evening to 2 Corinthians. I'll read chapter 4 in your hearing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Thus ends the reading of the sacred scriptures. Dear friends, you well know as Reformed believers that Paul's conviction and our conviction is that all that happens in our lives is by the very sovereign providence and guiding hand of a Father who is in heaven. We realize, as Jesus himself said, that there's not a hair that can fall from our head without the will of his heavenly Father. And so in a sense, Paul could say, and I trust we could say too, at least with our lips, it's more difficult with our lives at times, that should God, my Father, desire for me to have a painful affliction, should he give me a thorn in the flesh as he gave to the Apostle Paul, we would be able to say, if this causes me to cling to Christ all the more, to be transformed into his likeness, we will bear with this affliction patiently. If he calls me to suffer, as many of our brethren and sisters throughout the world are called to suffer with beatings and cruelties, if he would have me lose my friends for naming the name of Christ or even my possessions, if all that would mean I would learn more of Christ, can we say with the Apostle Paul, there's but one thing I desire to know, and that's Christ and the power of his resurrection, to know more and more of Jesus Christ. This was the ongoing life of the Apostle Paul. And this ongoing life is what he wanted also for those at Corinth. And it would be the life he would want for us as well. There's not one of us that escapes affliction. If I sat down and talked with each one of you in one way or another, there are afflictions you've encountered, your family has experienced, or you are going to experience. And the question that comes to us tonight is, how will we face these afflictions, these trials in our lives, as those who confess the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Paul was not only witnesses of the afflictions that came upon the people of God, we know that he endured them himself. Look at this chapter again, verse 8. He says, we are troubled on every side. But he says, we're not distressed. He says, we're perplexed. We're not in despair. We're persecuted, yet we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. And then he adds this phrase, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What's Paul saying? He's in a sense saying that as his outward body was perishing, as he was suffering at the hands of men, as he was suffering shipwreck and affliction and beatings, what was shining through the Apostle Paul was the life of Jesus Christ. And this is the life that he calls the Corinthians to, and it's the life he's going to call us to as well through the passage we will hope to consider tonight. And I want to look briefly with you this evening at the last three verses of this chapter. And they will formulate our three thoughts around the theme of three reasons to press on in the face of afflictions. The first thought is going to come from verse 16. In verse 16, Paul says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul is saying to us, dear friends, that in the face of all the afflictions that he's experienced, and even those that he knows in God's providence will lay upon his path, he says, we don't lose heart. We need not succumb under this affliction that comes upon us. Because even though, he says, our outward man is going to perish, yet we experience the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, what is that inward man that Paul is speaking about? It's that new creature in Christ Jesus. When one comes to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes a new creature united to the living vine, Jesus Christ. He is a new and living soul before God. He's one of his children. And as one of God's children, the Father knows precisely through what afflictions and trials he will bring his children to bring them forth after the image of his Son, like gold. And so what Paul is saying here, there are many means, of course, as we read the scriptures, that the inward man is renewed. We use the Lord's Supper to encourage and strengthen the inner man, our spiritual being. We use it in the reading of the word and prayer and in speaking together in the communion of saints. But what Paul is saying here in verse 16 is we don't lose heart, because even though the outward man is perishing, through our affliction, God is renewing the inward man day by day. Maybe you've experienced this. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you've had a parent or a grandparent or a spouse who have experienced great troubles, afflictions, trials in their life. You go to their bedside, you see their bodies wasting away. They've been in an accident, a young man or a young woman lying there paralyzed. But the inward man is glowing, is feeding upon Christ, is witnessing of the goodness of God in their affliction. And while the outward man is perishing, the inward man, by God's grace, is being renewed by the Spirit of Christ day by day. And so here is Paul, a faithful apostle for many years, writing to this church at Corinth. He had experienced many things. This second letter, much has transpired in his life. Prison, shipwreck, thorn in the flesh that God did not remove. Paul was convinced, even as he was growing weary, as it were, troubled on every side, that he was going to receive a crown of righteousness laid away for him. His eyes were fixed on the things beyond this world, and the inner man, by faith, was renewed. As Paul grew older, his understanding and perception of the gospel increased in clarity and clearness. He rejoiced with joy unspeakable at the prospect that was his when he would leave this life, which would be far better. And yet to remain, he would be content to serve his God. He grew in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And even the more he experienced affliction, the more the inner man, Paul himself, grew in trust and confidence in his Lord. Oh, Paul understood, did he not? There remains a spiritual battle, a warfare within the believer, between the old and the new man. The flesh doesn't like afflictions, doesn't like trials, doesn't like temptations. And Paul understood the flesh needed to be put to death, needed to be crucified. And by this very means of sanctification, the Lord would strengthen the inner man, to equip the inner man to engage in this warfare, to become indeed holy as Christ is holy. And so Paul says, though he was cast down, he was not in despair. Though he was persecuted, yet not forsaken. And how does God renew? Well, he comes by his word and by his spirit. He leads us through the paths of affliction, and he draws near to us with his spirit to comfort us as we meditate upon his word, as we deny ourselves and take up the cross. There may be those who want to have control. The Lord needs to remove this control from our lives so that we trust him. There are those who would like to have the preeminence, and we need to be broken in order to be submissive to him. In all these ways, the Lord will bring afflictions, and he brings his comforts by his word to teach us. And he will feed us through the promises that come to us, through the word and by the spirit. Does this life, dear friends, describe your spiritual journey? That the Lord is teaching you in the inner man as you reflect, as you meditate upon his word, as you drink it in as water to a thirsty soul. And that in all your affliction, though your outward man is perishing, though your relationships, which you would want to grow and want to reflect more of Christ, at times are broken, and you feel its pain and its challenge, yet in the inner man, by the Spirit of Christ, you drink in this word and are refreshed, strengthened in the inner man. Paul would say he faints not. Though the outward man is perishing, yet it is renewed day by day. Paul said to them in this passage, I die daily. I protest by your rejoicing, he says, I die daily. Paul was saying, I am having to face my own self, my own sinful desires, and daily I need to crucify those things, and my afflictions are helping me to do so. Is that how we face afflictions? To help us to deny ourselves our fleshly lusts and desires, that we could be changed, transformed to be like Christ. When we are being tested and tried, are we brought to the Lord for strength, courage, hope, as we read his word, as we eat the bread of life? Peter says, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you had suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. This is the work of God in his people, in the inner man. And he will use his word and the proclamation of his word, the reading and study of his word, to accomplish that in our lives. Paul says, I know how both to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, the strength of Paul in the inner man was not because he had conjured up some strength in himself and courage to press on. Paul's strength and courage was to cling to Christ alone. And that's what he's calling you and me to do. We don't need to faint. Though the outward man will perish, it is the inner man that the Spirit of Christ is renewing day by day. But then second of all, Paul's saying here, the reason we are to press on in the face of afflictions is in verse 17. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul says we have a light affliction. And maybe you think, well, Paul, he isn't in my shoes. When I'm going through affliction, it's anything but light. It's a weight around our neck. It weighs us down. Paul is not saying here, we just need to grin and bear it and press through the affliction. Muscle our way through. This too shall pass. Rather, what Paul is saying by faith, our light affliction. He's not just saying my affliction. He's not saying your affliction. He's by faith, including all the household of God, he's saying our affliction, our light affliction, our feathery affliction. And of course, Paul would understand, as we do, anytime we're going through affliction, it's anything but light. But he wants us to look at our affliction and to say, these we know will be a blessing to us because they are administered by the hand of a faithful and heavenly Father. Not only would Paul say, the old man is dying, passing away, and the inner man is being renewed day by day, but these light afflictions are working an exceeding great weight of glory. And he says, they're not only light, but they're for a moment. Now, all of us know, and I often use the illustration to signify what moments are. You know, if someone were your shopping or maybe at your grandparents' home would suddenly have a heart attack and you need to call for an ambulance to come, every moment you're looking at your watch and it's like it's taking forever. And yet it's just moments that are passing by. So in afflictions, when we're under the weight of afflictions, it seems so long and seems to prolong itself. And yet Paul, by faith, can say, it's our light affliction, which is but for a moment. He's saying, in the light of eternity, consider your lives. They are but a moment. And they are contributing, all these afflictions are contributing in God's marvelous providence to an eternal weight of glory. Unspeakable glory. Future glory. When we read these words in verse 17, we readily understand that these words cannot be spoken by an unbelieving man. You speak to an unbeliever who is encountering afflictions, trials, and difficulties. And they wonder why these things happen. They probably become angry or even bitter at life. Not so with the believer. Paul is saying there is an eternal weight of glory. Because in all Paul's afflictions, he realized God was using to change and shape him to be more like Christ, more to the glory of God. God's in that same business today. He's taking each of us who know him by faith, granting afflictions, granting trials, that we might be shaped and molded and formed into the very image of his Son. This weight of eternal glory. We heard this morning that there was one thing Jesus had in mind. It was the glory of his Father. And if there's one thing the Apostle Paul had come to have in mind, it was the will and glory of God. And that ought to be our desire, our longing, if we confess the name of Christ. And so Paul could say to the Romans as well, chapter 8, and if we are children, then we are heirs, we're heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Consider your affliction. Consider the affliction of the children of God of ages past. Look at them in light of what Paul says. Our light affliction, but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There is not a single affliction, a single pain you or I experience that God the Father is not intending to bless and to make fruitful, to add to the weight of the glory which we brought to his name. Consider our Lord himself. What he endured. Such contradiction of sinners against himself. The writer to the Hebrews says, consider him, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. In all your afflictions, my friends, consider him who has gone before us. Consider the light affliction, which is but for a moment. It is working. By faith, we may say, a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. What Paul is saying here in a pictured way is maybe something we can relate to. The Lady Justice, she is shown with a hand outstretched in an iron bar with two chains with a balance on either side. In essence, what Paul is saying in this passage is, you put all your afflictions and all your trials and all this in one side. And then you put the glory that is being weighed in contrast to it on the other. Which will pull down? Your afflictions, are they greater? Are they more than what you can carry? Or do you believe by faith what Paul is saying here? Our light afflictions, but for a moment, are working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to a inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith. That's what Paul is saying here. There is laid away in heaven itself an eternal weight of glory. All our afflictions will be seen to be to the glory of God once we cross to the other side. Paul mentions to these Corinthians, if you go back to chapter 1 and then go on into chapter 6, about the God of all comfort. Paul is saying to them that you are to comfort one another, even as you have received comfort from God. And already this glory will be seen. One may suffer more affliction at this time in the body of Christ, and another may come alongside who have felt that suffering, that affliction, and is able to comfort. And at another time, this person will be able to go and comfort another who is afflicted as well. And all of these things working together, you will see, will bring glory and glory and glory to our God eternally. But Paul is saying not here only that the outward man is perishing and the inner man is renewed day by day. He's not only saying press on in the face of all your afflictions, because they are light and momentary and they're working a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. But he says as well that we need to see the things unseen, the things that are eternal. In our day-to-day life, we are prone to look at the things we see. We go to our businesses and we pull out our books and we look at the numbers and we make adjustments and the things we see. We go to school and we take out our textbook and we look at the things that we see. And indeed, we are called to be faithful in business and at home and at school. But what Paul is saying here in this passage is, in light of affliction, in the face of affliction, what you see is not all there is. There is more that's taking place beyond what we can see. And if you only look at the here and now, if you only look at the difficulty of pressing through the affliction, you'll be discouraged and despair. And so Paul says, we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. At the things eternal. There are people in this world who are looking at their place and position, their place of authority and power, the things they can see and control. And yet they know not the fear of God. They know not the inner strength that comes in the life of believers. You have another man who looks at the riches he can have. He has a nice car. He has a wonderful house. And he goes on lots of vacations. All the things that he can see. But if he knows not the Lord, he has no true riches. No abiding peace. Paul says, our eyes ought not to be on the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. I remember hearing a radio broadcast once of a man who was persecuted in Romania. His name was Joseph Son, during their time of persecution. And he said that he had been brought before officers. And this is what he said to them. He said, "Sir, let me explain how I see the issue. Your supreme weapon is killing. My supreme weapon is dying. Here's how it works. You know," he said, "that my sermons on tape have spread throughout the whole country. If you kill me, those sermons will be sprinkled with my blood. Everyone will know I died for my preaching. And anyone who picks up a tape will say, 'I'd better listen again to what that man preached, because he really meant it. He sealed it with his life.' So, sir, my sermons will speak 10 times louder than before. I actually will rejoice in this supreme victory if you kill me." Well, they sent him home. And later, Reverend Sun heard from another persecuted Christian who met with that officer in the prison. That officer told him, "We know that Mr. Sun would love to die a martyr, but we're not that foolish to fulfill his wish." Mr. Sun said, "I stopped to consider the meaning of that statement. I remembered for how many years I had been afraid of dying. I kept a low profile because I wanted badly to live. And I wasted my life in inactivity. But now that I had placed my life on the altar and decided I was ready to die for the gospel, they were telling me they wouldn't kill me. I could go wherever I wanted in the country and preach wherever I wanted, knowing I was safe." He said, "As long as I tried to save my life, I was losing it. But now that I was willing to lose it, I found it." He was looking at the things he could see. He was afraid. And he forgot to look at the things that were not seen. And when he began by faith to see those things, he was no longer afraid. And he spoke boldly in the name of Christ. The path of suffering ends in victory for the believer. The road to Calvary reaches the empty tomb. The glorious resurrection that will be, that is coming, when God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes, will be the day in which there is no more affliction, no more suffering, no more death, no more dying, no more sin. But it shall be all glory. There is all beauty, all holy, pure, filled with the living God. There will never be there a dreaded day, a weak moment, a regret, but there will only be loving, wholehearted service before the throne of our God. Then we will be nearer God every day. And this is what Paul says, while we are in the here and now, is where our eyes, by faith, to be fixed. We, of course, can't see heaven with our natural eyes. We can't see the mansions of glory that are being prepared by Christ even now. We can't see the streets of gold and the gates of pearls. It is only by faith, as Paul says here, that we will be enabled to no longer look in the face of the affliction all that we see, but our eyes will be fixed on things eternal, the things that are not seen. And the question that leaves us with this evening is, where are your eyes? Where are mine? As we encounter afflictions and trials in our life, where do we have a tendency to look? And we all are prone, in the face of something that confronts us suddenly, to be discouraged, to be downcast. But let us, in the face of all our afflictions, as Paul did, to not lose heart. Even though our outward bodies and the outer man will perish, Paul is saying the inner man will be renewed day by day. And even though we would say these afflictions, they seem to be heavy, and continuing on, let us by faith be able to say they are light, but for a moment, because God is with us, and these things are working for us a far more and exceeding weight of glory, because we're not looking on the things we see, but on the things we don't see, as we await the day in which we shall rise from the dead, and we shall see him as he is, and we will be like him as we meet him in the clouds of glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our blessed Lord and gracious God, we come to thee in the close of this service. And there may be those indeed of us who suffer affliction and trial. And with our eyes, we hardly can see past the day. O Lord, strengthen us by faith in the inner man to see these very things the apostle sets before us, that we would cling to Christ through our trials and begin to shine with his light. Lord, wilt thou prepare thy people for this great glory that awaits them? And wilt thou give us also, while we live in this world, to be a light to others, that we show by our example and our words that we do not live for the things which we see, but we are living for the things which thy word does testify as being true. Go with us into this week. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.